Hello, I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening, and also to explain why you might hear ads like this before, during, or even after an episode. We're a small but mighty team here at Realm, and to help fund our shows, we promote products or services that we think you'd enjoy from a variety of sponsors. If any of our ads interest you, one of the best ways to support us is by visiting the link or using the promo code in the ad. It's pretty much a win-win since you can get some great deals and we can keep making awesome shows like this one. You can also visit realm.fm/partners for more information about our sponsors and how to access the different promotions. Thanks again for joining us in our corner of the universe. Listen away.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
No, that's wrong. Hey, I'll just edit this. Yeah, feel it. Feel the rhythm. Feel the fury. Welcome, everybody, to this spoiler review episode here of What If Season 2, Episode 7, on this episode of the Geek Bites from the
Geek
Buddies. We're excited to jump into this one. You know, a lot happened in this one here. What if Hela found the Ten Rings? This is essentially a mishmash of the first Thor film and Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, except this one is led by Hela. Cate Blanchett coming back to voice Hela yet again. And we got Jeffrey Wright in here as the watcher, but we got Jeff Bergman stepping in for Odin. We kind of heard him in previous episodes of What If, but this one, we got a real good chunk of Jeff Bergman playing Odin. We also had Fyodor Chin stepping in to voice Wenwu. We had the legendary Lauren Tom in here as Jai, and Idris Elba coming back as Hemdala as well. This one basically is, as I said, a reimagining of the first Thor film, where it's Hela who is now has her power removed with her spiky helmet. It is thrown down to Earth. She has to earn the helmet back. She confronts Wenwu, gets involved with Wenwu here. She goes to, is it Talo, that land there. She learns from Jai, finds her chi, finds her peace, then understands how to fight with the light and the dark, gets her helmet back, overpowers Odin. Odin surrenders the throne, and we have a new stable of defenders to help the universe, even going in at the end there to maybe stop Gamora from becoming Thanos' sword. So interesting stuff here within this episode for sure. Michael, your thoughts overall on this episode of episode 7 of season 2 of What If?
I thought this was a great episode that I wish had not aired after yesterday's episode, because it kind of just paled in comparison to yesterday's. Like, I'm curious about the episode order, because looking at the titles, tomorrow's episode definitely has to do with the Peggy Carter, the ending of the Peggy Carter episode, and maybe the Kahori episode. And then the last episode clearly has to do with whatever Strange Supreme was doing, and maybe the 16, like, definitely those three all feel like they're of a piece, and this one just feels like another really good What If episode. And if it had aired previously to yesterday, I would have been like, ah, fucking great, love this, does the best things that What If does, great to see Shang-Chi in there, like all of the Shang-Chi kind of mythology in the movie in there. But now I was like, okay, this was good, but like, what's going on with Kahori? I just got really, really into that. That being said, what was a really good, solid What If episode was elevated just by getting to listen to Cate Blanchett for an hour or a half hour. Like, Cate Blanchett, you could have – we talked about the Wendy Lawson, you know, I forget the actress's name, but who did Wendy Lawson, Annette Bening in the second episode, and she did a great job. It sounded just like Annette Bening. I am sure you could have found somebody that could just nail sounding like Cate Blanchett. But there is this extra little something that she's got that really this whole episode to me which had a lot of fun what-if things to it, no. was really like, let me just sit back and listen to Kate Blanchett be fucking awesome for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic episode myself and really enjoyed, as you said, Kate Blanchett coming in, doing the humor. You know, a lot of people love this character of Hela. And one of the criticisms, and I should have thrown it at the beginning, it's also a combo of Thor Ragnarok, of course. One of the arguments that people had about that movie was that Hela shows up, awesome beginning, great, gets to the kingdom there, but then it just kind of stays at the kingdom and you wait for the final confrontation, then it goes down. And then people also rightfully pointed out, wait, Odin used Hela and then Hela got too ambitious and then shut her up? What the hell? So I love that Marvel leaned into the criticisms. I love that they have the guts to do that and turned a whole episode into What If to address those concerns. And we got to see the great comedic timing, in my opinion. We'll find out from our resident comedian here, Shannon McClung, if I'm correct. In my opinion, I thought she delivered some of these dialogue well and some of the humor well, and I enjoyed her journey. So Shannon, what did you think? I mean, you've worked overseas there in Asia. I'm sure you've been exposed to Eastern influence, Eastern thought patterns, and we saw a combination here of this violence being met with Eastern philosophy and then honed to be understanding how to fight and when to fight and when not to fight. What did you think about this episode here?
I mean, it begins and ends with Cate Blanchett. I mean, again, as Vogel already said, she's a character that we didn't get to see a ton of in Thor Ragnarok. Granted, she was the primary antagonist, but, you know, she was kind of the bookends of that movie. Like, we see a little bit of her in the middle, but mainly it's the beginning and the end. She was so funny. Like, she was just so, so funny. She's trying to pick up her crown, discussing is Winwoo brave or stupid? And he's like, yeah, both. Yeah, you might be both. You know, she just had really, really great takes on all these lines. I thought the episode was really good. The episode order is interesting. Like, I feel like maybe this is something you should have knocked down to the beginning, of the season.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Just because we see the connections that some of the episodes are making. It's like, it's nice to kind of string all those together. But also, this was, as Vogel already said, like, this is what If does really well. And they've done it really well already a few times this season. It didn't have that extra thing that maybe the 88 Avengers had, or yesterday's episode had, or the Captain Carter episode had. But it was still really, really good. I mean, there is one thing, I think, with Winwoo. I think I was like, this is a little bit of a shift from the guy that we met in the movies, but not a big enough deal to be like, this was crap. It was really, really fun. And it was fun getting to see, I don't know if that was actually Morris, but that getting to see ancestors pop back up. So I thought it was really, really fun.
Well, let's deal with Hela's storyline here. I kind of teased it a little bit in my overall opinion on the episode. Michael, what did you think about how they handled Hela here? As we said, starting out being the sword, as she's called, to Odin, and then we see Odin break her down, because obviously this is a different universe. So in this universe, Odin takes the helmet off, throws it down to Midgard, and she has to understand life in order to be the goddess of death. So trying to teach her a lesson, and then we see as she goes along, she's very much Hela the whole time, back and forth with Winwoo, betrays Winwoo, takes off there with possibly Morris into the woods, goes to the land of Talo, gets trained by Jai, and then comes back and battles with Winwoo against Odin, and at the end comes out in the light, kind of like Gandalf the Grey to the Gandalf the White. So what did you think about how they did this storyline here? What stood out to you? What worked for you? What didn't work for you?
Well, I mean, to your point, it's basically the Thor story. I mean, you know, dad found her unworthy, sent her to Midgard. There was a piece of Asgardian armor that would not be lifted. She learned her lesson. She lifted it. The only difference here being that, which I think you pointed out rightly so, which is they kind of addressed a critique of Ragnarok, which is, Odin kind of used her and then got mad that she did exactly what she was supposed to do. So I think they addressed that. I think Odin gets off a little bit easy at the end, being like, and now you've surpassed me. I'm like, okay, you know what, Dad? You weren't great. And this is really mostly your fault. But, you know, I think a kind of very nice, a little bit paint by numbers, but a really nice sort of arc for Hela to sort of see this new version that was elevated again and made great by the dialogue, like the great writing. Yeah. Like this story, had you just done this story straight down the line and made Hela sort of very serious and then watched the slow transformation, it would have worked. It's a story that works really well, but you would have been like, eh, okay. But the dialogue, the humor, Kate Blanchett being so funny, like just her delivery of everything just made it a little bit extra fun. And then it's a little bit extra satisfying to see her make this turn because you really just like her from the get-go. Even when she's evil at the beginning,
yeah,
she's so charming and charismatic that watching her kind of come around to the side of the angels at the end and become like, you know, the leader of the of this version of the Defenders, it's very satisfying. So I thought that it was a solid, if not completely original, like amazing story that was made better by her.
Yeah, Matthew Chauncey, one of the writers here, Jim Starlin is credited, but I think more for creating these characters. But Matthew Chauncey doing a wonderful job writing this particular episode. Brian Andrews directing it yet again. Yeah, Shannon, I mean, Kate Blanchett, this is a really, we get to see her comedic timing, but we also get to see her go through this journey and the emotional parts of it. And I think what was great about this episode, and see what your thoughts about Kate, like she stayed Hella pretty much throughout. And then we get this regression to her childhood memory, which I thought was really surprising. Yeah, it's pop psychology. Yeah, you have half an hour. But, you know, they unlocked something in here, and it made Hella even more of a likable, enjoyable, interesting character. Yeah, you may not approve of her killing, you know, Valkyrie and all the people, you know, all that stuff. Certainly, she's not, you know, like her slate's not clean necessarily. But it's an interesting character that you like, and it's Kate Blanchett's performance that carries you through. But what do you think about how her journey went in this episode? What stood out to you? What didn't work for you?
I mean, again, it does really mirror Thor. I mean, even when she gets cast down to Earth and she's so used to being able to call upon the power of that crown or call upon the power of her blades and suddenly not having those, you know, her character gets punched in the face a lot by guys in this. Yeah. but you see that she still is, even without her power, she's still very, very capable. And, you know, when she gets to Talo, Lauren Tom's character is the one basically saying, you know, why do you want this? Why do you want this?
Yeah.
Why do you want this? Because I want freedom. And then you see that flashback to when she was a kid, when Fenrir gets locked up because Odin's like, you know, this is a powerful thing. I can't trust it. I can't trust you. So, you know, I thought the story I think Vogel's right. It was pretty paint by numbers in terms of a story about a bad guy becoming good, but not betraying basically who they are at the end. But it was her humor that really carried the episode through.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, like paint by numbers isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like there are a lot of movies out there. Like I always use Miss Congeniality as an example. Like Miss Congeniality is a paint by numbers movie. Mm. It is just by the book. Here's how you set up a script. Here's how you set up characters. Here's how you knock them down. It's very satisfying. So I think that because this was sort of a paint by numbers, a villain redemption, how do you learn your lesson, learn mercy, whatever. They chose the right numbers and painted them well.
Yeah. Shannon, I go back to you. What did you think of how Wen Wu was portrayed in this? You were mentioning it earlier in your overall thoughts on the episode. How did you think they portrayed him here, the voiceover work by Fyodor Chin, and what he does in reaction to Helen, how he has his moments with her? It almost seems like, yes, he's proposing. He's saying he's not proposing marriage, he's proposing an alliance. I mean, you could argue those are you're splitting hairs in that definition there. But he gets betrayed by her, and then when she comes back, they come together and they have some fantastic action sequences. So, or battle scenes rather. So what did you think about how they handled this with Wen Wu?
I think this was the one that was altered a little bit from Shang-Chi because in that prologue that we see, and granted it's been a minute since I've seen that movie. So correct me if I'm wrong. In the What If episode, he's talking about, he wants to protect the people. He wants a partner. That's not really the guy that we met in Shang-Chi. Maybe that was in the subtext, but it didn't seem like he wanted to protect people. He's a conqueror. He wanted, he wanted to rule, and at no part was he looking for a partner. Like, he wanted to be in charge. It wasn't until he met Shang-Chi's mom in Talo that's when he started to learn some lessons and having this family. And when that family is ripped away from him, that's when we get, you know, this new guy, or we get the return of the old guy. So this version of Wen Wu is is a little different. That was the only thing that kind of bumped me a little bit, especially when he and Cate Blanchett, when he's kind of going with Cate Blanchett to kind of free Gamora's people. I was like, I don't know if he would have done this, because again, he wasn't looking to work with someone. That being said, the character is still incredibly enjoyable. I thought Fyodor Chen did a great job channeling Tony Leung. And the Ten Rings are just awesome to see. And it's a shame that we have not seen them on the big screen since Shang-Chi.
Yeah, Michael, there's been a bit of an uproar online of people being like, how come we're getting so much Captain Carter? We're not getting Sam Wilson as Cap. Why is this happening? Well, the bigger uproar is, how come we got Shang-Chi and then poof, it's been basically a wasteland of Shang-Chi stuff until we just got this episode with the Ten Rings and Wen Wu and Ta Lo. So what did you think about how they handled Wen Wu here in this? Was it nice to see him back? Did you like Fyodor Chen's voiceover work here? And the way he delivered the lines, going toe-to-toe with Hela here, proposing the alliance, and then at the end joining her.
I mean, yeah, I think they did a great job, and it's fun to see all of this stuff. It's fun to see Wen Wu. It's fun to see the Ten Rings, and it makes you go, Marvel, what the fuck have you been doing? Like, why haven't we gotten a Shang-Chi? Like this is... It sort of illustrates the issue that Marvel's having. Like, when you look at Phases 1, 2, and 3, and how quickly we got an Iron Man 2, a Thor 2, a Captain America 2, a Guardians Volume 2, and you look at that we're kind of in the midst of Phase 5, and Shang-Chi has not appeared, you watch this action, you watch the action with the Ten Rings, and you're like, yeah, the fuck, man, come on, let's figure some shit out. That was exciting times. I think they did a good job. I think Shannon's right. They took a little bit of a shortcut. Sometimes when you're doing a what if story, and this is a hella what if story, you just have other characters pop up, and you're like, hey, this character's a little bit different in this reality, but he is much more benign in this reality than what we know of him from the movies. And I think maybe even if they had just thrown a line in there at some point early on when he was talking to her, where he's like, I used to think that I wanted to conquer. I used to think this. And then I decided this. Like, and it could have been a completely different reason than finding his family that sent him down the road. But even if they had just given us a little bit, okay, this is why this Wen Wu.
Yeah.
Is a little bit different than the one we know. And they just, you know, there was a lot of story to tell, and they really wanted to focus on the Hela story and the Hela-Odin relationship. So Wen Wu was just a little bit different. So I kind of just went with it. But I don't think that Shannon's wrong. I think that might have made his character a bit stronger. That being said, still super charming, still super cool. Yeah. And watching those Ten Rings, like that whole action sequence at the end with Hela and Wen Wu going up against Odin and those Ten Rings flying around, you're like, fuck, Marvel. You had gold. What have you been doing?
Yeah, I gotta agree. I mean, I loved the Wen Wu treatment here in this particular episode. I kind of went like this. Well, it's an alternate universe, so this is a different Wen Wu for this universe and how he's approaching things. So I kind of put it in that frame, but I understand how you both could have been like, hey, you know what? A little bit to kind of allude to the Wen Wu we know from our main Marvel universe, and then make a little variation at the end. Maybe they didn't want to make all the male characters want to necessarily use her. Although, I mean, he was kind of proposing an alliance to use her power so that they could rule. And he did say, like, we want to protect the Earth and blah, blah, blah. But of course, Jai said the same thing. And Jai seems to be what we know to be Ta Lo, to be a good place. So she's coming from a good place. And when she teaches her Hela how to deal with her stuff, I think that conveys that she's a better person. But also, people loved Wen Wu, and people and Tony Leung did such a great job with that role that he was redeemed by the end of the movie. So maybe Marvel felt like, well, you know, this is the last thing people know of Wen Wu, so let's keep him somewhat good in the approach. But totally hear what you guys have to say. But I liked it, and I liked the bat. I liked that there was a little flirting too. It was kind of sexy. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was nice to see these two powerful people have a little sexy flirting. And yeah, of course, she was probably she was using it a little bit to kind of betray him and slam his head into a table. But still, I kind of liked the way they were working around each other. I kind of wanted to see more of this. So if they were to continue this in season 3, I'd love a duo there with those two going on a mission with Morris hanging out in the background. Michael, what'd you think of the Ta Lo sequence here with Jai coming in, wanting to train Hela? We see the beautiful landscape that we've seen in the movies of Tylo, and her training her and teaching her about the light and teaching her about and regressing her back to her childhood memory there of the dog being chained, and essentially implying, or it seems like they're saying, that the helmet was the chain on Hela, and then her breaking her of that pattern and having her see the light and her leaving kind of like Luke in Empire Strikes Back before her training is done to go and confront the big baddie in Odin. And she was successful with Wen Wu by her side. But what do you think about the sequence here in Taylo as she was training her?
I mean, look, they did a great job of, in the amount of time they have to tell this sort of truncated story, giving us a really great montage sequence of training that was very satisfying. Yeah. Just watching that journey kind of going through, and it's the, again, it's paint by numbers, but it's good numbers. It's the, I don't want to sit here and meditate. I don't want to fold your fucking piece of paper. I want to fight with like knives that are on fire. Can we do knives on fire instead of these flower petals? Like flower petals look very pretty. Can I do knives on fire? And then she kind of sort of gets into it. She has her moment of clarity where we see the flashback. We understand that all she wants is freedom from the control that she's been put under her whole life. Yeah. And then realizes that through this training, she is forging her own path. And now she folds paper. And now she loves petals. She can breathe and she's good to go. And you're like, okay, this 100% works. And then the icing on the cake is to get to the battle scene at the end where all of the battle has like heated up all these blades. And she's like, hey, blades on fire. So I embrace the petals. Plus I get blades on fire. This is a win-win for everybody. So, you know, it's like, it was just a really good use again of Taolo, which is a wonderful idea and a wonderful setting in the MCU that has been criminally underused thus far. Yeah. So just seeing it makes you realize, you know, it's what we've been saying this from the get-go, like what if season two has really done for me, and it's a very nice end of year present for a Marvel fan, is make me realize how much good there is, even in phase four, that Marvel's just not quite using right. And and it gives me hope that they are realizing this as well as they're watching these things and going, oh, okay, maybe we should get Shang-Chi 2 going. Let's pick up the pace, guys. So hopefully that's what's happening.
Right. Well, once homie recovers from his Achilles tear, he will be back in, I'm sure, shooting Shang-Chi 2. Yeah. Shannon, what do you think of the sequence here, the Taolo sequence, all the way leading up to the end where Zhai says, look, I can't go with you. We're not going to go with you. So, you know, when you look at episode 6, Kahori essentially telling them, look, you got a responsibility. You got to come and fight these conquistadors. Here in this one, Zhai is very clear. We are not going with you. And at the end, when it looks like maybe they might get beat by Odin, which is great. I love how the shifts in the battle sequence went back and forth on who was going to win, who wasn't going to win. They don't show up to help her. So she very much is on her own with Wen Wu and all of this. So what did you think about this sequence and the training and Lauren Tom's performance?
Yeah, everything in the Taolo sequence was great. You know, the nice, steady, measured delivery of Lauren Tom versus the sarcastic, smug, trying to find an angle anywhere she can, yeah, delivery of Cate Blanchett as Hela. Like they were a really nice team. And yeah, I mean, you know, getting to see the way that they are able to incorporate nature into their fighting style, and Hela being like, well, I never considered that. Ooh, I like that. Maybe not the petals, but maybe daggers on fire. That's just such a fun little joke. That even in the moment, I'm like, I wonder if that's what she's going to use at the end. And it's a great marriage of Hela being Hela, but using this sort of, you know, newfound knowledge to become the best goddess of death that she can be. Taolo's a great location. I mean, as Vogel already said, it is frustrating not to for Marvel not to be using everything to their advantage. But hopefully they are seeing the fruits that could be grown if they, you know, focused on the things that were working in phase four, like Shang-Chi.
Right. Last question for you, Shannon, and going back to Michael as well. Shannon, your thoughts on the ending here? They subdue Odin. As Michael said, Odin kind of gaslights them a little bit, like, oh, you've done it. Now you can rule and I'll bend the knee. And they go off and become these defenders of the galaxy, all the way ending with them coming upon Gamora and Thanos. So what did you think of the ending, her turning into Hela the White in essence, and going forward with this alliance with Wenwu, not quite how Wenwu pictured it, but how she wanted it to happen. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I thought that was, I think that was a really nice story moment. Of all the moments that you could have picked for them to intervene on in the history of the MCUs that we've seen, I think one of the more satisfying ones is them getting to save little Gamora, because we've already seen in What If Season 2 what happens when you don't get to save her. I mean, you know, ultimately she does get her own redemption later in life, but being able to stop Thanos... There's a theme of stopping Thanos in this season. But no, I thought it was really good. Again, Wenwu being there, it was sort of like, okay, I don't really see him falling in line personally, without the sort of massaging line that Vogel had suggested earlier. But yeah, I mean, getting to see a redemption arc for Hela, and being so starkly different in terms of the visual, like how she is in this glowing white armor. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, this is really nice.
I don't know, man. Hela's a hottie. I think I might go and defend the galaxy with her and put down the rings or put down the anger.
Mike, he ain't getting in there.
Wait, hey, I don't know. I don't know how it works up there with those powers. Michael, your thoughts on this ending here, you know, Hela the White and then them going into subduing Odin saying what he said and then them going in. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I think Odin gets off a little bit easy, but I do like that, you know, he basically gives Hela what he thinks she wants, which is now you can rule.
Right.
Yeah, like that, like the Hela that he knows was like, once you've taught me my lesson, Dad, I'm going to take the throne and I'm going to rule over the nine realms and beyond. And she's like, yeah, I will take the throne just so I can dismantle all of this. Yeah, and it's going to take me a long time, but I'm going to your point about this is a character that, you know, killed the Valkyrie and like, you know, did all the things she did. Like, she's basically like, okay, I did a lot of shit for you and I'm just going to go undo it all now. Like, that's my new mission in life. And that's very satisfying. And as you're talking, I realized, like, you know, had you made Wenwu a little bit more of the character we knew from the movies, who was like, also like, I want to conquer and control. And she kind of turned to him and she was like, look, I'm down for an alliance, but we're not doing it your way. And he was like, I can get on board with that. That really would have worked just as well. And it probably would have made it more satisfying to see him at her side at the end there. Because it's, you know, a woman surrounded by men who are, I'm going to conquer so that I can protect. And her being like, no. We're going to liberate. Like, this is the new plan. Like, that is basically what happened. So it's just a couple little line tweaks of clarification. Mm-hmm. And yeah, look, picking the Gamora Thanos moment is great because, and I think as you already said, Johnny, or one of you said it, you know, this is just another, this is a reflection of the exact same thing that she grew up with. Like, her father trained her to be his weapon and loved her for the weapon that she was until she became not what he wanted. And Thanos trained Gamora to be his weapon until she was like, fuck this, I'm not doing it anymore. So the similarity between their two stories, I thought it was a really, really nice choice. And you know, like, again, as far as a What If episode, like, this was strong. It was a lot of fun. It was really great. Just yesterday's, I'm still sort of reeling from how much I enjoyed yesterday's.
Yeah, it kind of broke the wheel, broke the pattern. That's what they were going for. Nice full circle moment there, breaking one sword away from, or a potential sword away from someone who's going to use it. I also kind of low-key, and we're going to wrap on this, I also kind of low-key liked that this had a little bit of a therapy storyline, like going back and finding the thing that has damaged you or hurt you at a formative moment in your life, coming to terms with it, letting it go, confronting the person. She says that in the episode, I need to confront Odin and come get over this and fight back and reclaim my own power, reclaim my own freedom, and then spread that to the galaxy. I thought that was a really nice moment there to have with Hela, like a little bit of a lesson maybe for people who might be considering that and going through their own kind of journeys in life for sure. So I liked it. That was kind of a low-key thing in this as well. All right, well, there you go. That's our spoiler review for this last, for the seventh episode, rather, of season two of What If. Shannon, thanks so much for listening to us or watching us here on the YouTube channel. Shannon, what do we have to tell them?
Yeah, if you'd like to follow us on social media, on Twitter, it's @geek_buddies, on Instagram @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media, on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung, on Instagram @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you would like to follow Mr. Vogel, it is @MKToon. If you would like to follow Mr. Roca, it is @TheRocaSays.
Mikey?
And if you would like to, you can also smash that like button below, subscribe to Johnny's Outlaw Nation page, check out all the amazing content he's got, leave your comments below. What are you thinking of What If Season 2? What did you think of Hela? What did you think of Wen Wu? What do you think of why Marvel hasn't done Shang-Chi 2? Let us know below. If you're listening to us on a podcast, leave us some stars and comments so we go up in the rankings. And as always, the best thing you can do is retweet this video, post it on your socials, send it to your friends, and tell them to hang out with your buddies, the Geek Buddies.
There you go. All right, y'all, take care of yourselves. Have fun. And don't forget to come back and join us tomorrow for another spoiler review of What If Season 2 here on the Geek Bites, brought to you by the
Geek
Buddies. Hey!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.